Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome back to this Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. World Cup fever is here. The warm-up matches are out of the way and we are heading headfirst, 2 feet straight in to the Springboks in the opening game of the World Cup. Alan and Matt and David here to get excited about it all. Alan, how are you feeling? How's that fever hitting you?
I think we talked sort of 4 or 5 weeks ago about how we were almost surprised at like the first match happening. And actually, as we've sort of built through those four matches, the fever's just built up and built up where it was second half of that second France game. It was like peak fever. And then this Georgia match was sort of a little bit of fear started to creep in. And now, I don't know, bloody heck, 9 days out from the SAFA match. It's, can't wait.
Matt, how are you feeling it? There's been an awful lot of that try compilation video that dropped on YouTube a couple of days ago. That is just feeding the hope, isn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't quite believe that video. It was 30 minutes long. And I think someone made the joke on Twitter that the previous like decade of Scottish rugby wouldn't have been able to fill like 15 minutes try-wise.
It was like 30 minutes of like our best tries since 2019, wasn't it?
I think it was every try since 2019.
Every try.
Yeah.
And to be fair, there's a hell of a lot of them. And like quite a lot of them are absolute worldies.
Best try since 2019?
Good question.
Is it is the Peter Horn versus South Africa in that one?
The two behind the backs.
Yeah.
Two
behind the back. Was that pre or post 2019?
I think I can't actually remember. It might have been pre.
I think it's going to be the final, the last try versus England this year.
I was thinking that or Doohan's try against England in the same game.
Pure vibes is Sam Johnson in the draw game.
That was pre-2019.
Yeah.
Fuck. God. Was it really?
I think it might have literally been 2019, to be fair.
Fuck. Where's your cutoff?
No. I mean,
whatever you try since the 2019 World Cup was the cutoff.
Yeah, I know.
I think. Yeah.
I think broadly, sort of the period post Tooney, pre Finn is just that real dearth of just any sort of back attacking play leading to tries.
Yeah.
We tried our best.
Well, we absolutely did. And as I say, we are four fixtures out of the way in this sort of World Cup cycle. Casting your mind back to July, we absolutely pumped Italy 25-13. We then went on to have a stunning comeback win against France 25-21. Narrow loss in that absolute classic down in Saint-Étienne, 30-27 to France, and then topping it off with a nice five-try second half, canter past Georgia, 33-6. I guess taking those four matches as a whole, Matt, what have we learned about this squad that perhaps we didn't know before these sort of warm-ups started?
I was actually thinking the exact same thing today and asking whether across these four matches any new players have emerged, any new combinations, whether we're going to pick a squad that was any different to what we would have thought before these matches. And actually probably there's not that much difference. So I don't know if we've actually like learned anything particularly new. But at the same time, I think from these four matches, haven't got any injuries. The Ferguson red card we've done very well out of. And I think all our key players are playing pretty well. And those combinations across halfback, midfield, maybe the back row is the one that has changed slightly in that Dempsey's come through to the forefront. But apart from that, it seems as if it's just kind of been business as usual, which I think is a good thing.
I think your back row point is interesting. I think I was going to say that we've probably learned that maybe Darge is a stick on at seven. And also that Kinghorn looks really, really, really good at 15. So perhaps any concerns that we had about Hogg dropping out and us sort of that being a detriment to the squad were maybe unfounded. But beyond that, I'm sort of struggling to think of any specific things that we sort of learnt or managed to put to bed.
I think it's just validated a lot of what we already knew, which is... when we turn it on,
which is always nice.
Yeah, well, depends on what it is. Nice that it validates that when we turn it on, we can sort of compete with anyone in the world, and actually Finn especially is potentially sort of the best 10 in the world when he's got quick ball on the other side. In all three matches, we had sort of up to 40 minutes where we weren't really in the game. Most of it in the first 40 minutes. So that's a bit of a fear where ultimately, as has been said quite a lot, if we do that against especially South Africa out the gate, ultimately we're not going to be able to catch them up if we go more than sort of 10, 12 points behind, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. And that seems to have been quite a lot of the chatter in the sort of punditry world this week. I mean, I suppose... yes, and the difficult thing is it's not as if we've always been slow starters within that context, because you think of the second France game, we actually came out of the blocks really well, and it was just that middle, like 20-25 of madness that cost us in the end. But yeah, I agree that consistency point is interesting and maybe something that hasn't been put to bed. And I feel as if against actually quite a few teams, Scotland could put in, as has been shown in the past, like a 50, 55 minute performance, 60, and do enough to win the game because of the game breakers they've got. But it's once again South Africa and Ireland where you need to be in the contest for, you know, 70, 75 minutes at least, really.
Yeah, exactly. And I think sort of on that point of the fact we're playing South Africa and Ireland, I think the other piece that probably validated in a bit of a bad way was at moments we sometimes struggle physically against a big pack. So there's definitely moments in that second France game where it felt like we were on the back foot and France was starting to get some easy yards in the tight. And then actually even in that first half against Georgia, we think like we struggle to sort of deal with that sort of quite physical Georgian defence. So again, it's just given the two teams we're playing, just this fear that we've not quite got the players or the game plan to beat those two specific teams. Or you'd almost like prefer to have New Zealand, right? Given the kind of players that we have at our disposal.
Even France as well, who I think can as you say, bring that power game, but at the same time can be a little bit loose. And I think actually playing France often quite suits Scotland's style.
100%. But at the same time, going in, probably feeling a little bit more, I was feeling more positive than I did at the start until South Africa completely rinsed New Zealand.
Yeah, that is a concern.
And I think there's been that real shift where I think we've been pretty consistent on this, where we've said South Africa feels like the winnable game. And it now feels like everyone's sort of turning a little bit and starting to see, especially Ireland post that Samoa match, starting to potentially see Ireland as the more winnable match. I think I probably still lean towards South Africa just because it's first match out the gate. And I think, but it's both are obviously exceedingly tricky.
Odds are currently putting South Africa as 11-point favourites for the fixture. You feeling that? We're going to beat the spread, but probably not win it?
I think that's a good bet.
I wouldn't even be that confident of beating the spread, to be honest, I don't think.
Ireland, a mere 62-point favourites against Romania. You going to beat the spread on that?
Vern Cotter leading Romania to the biggest upset in World Cup history.
You get 1,000 to 1 on that.
Always take 1,000 to 1 odds.
Yeah. The one positive I would say is I think going into those warm up matches, I was a bit like, oh, I think a bit upset that we'd got Tonga in our group. But actually, I think when you look at the three Pacific Island sides and how they performed in the run-up to the World Cup, I actually think Tonga might be the weakest of the three. I think Fiji and Samoa are a lot stronger. And actually, I think Tonga look like they've also got a few good players, but they might not. They've not probably got enough to challenge even sort of Scotland. So I probably see them as less of a threat, which hopefully should make our trip out to Nice a lot more enjoyable. Just like a nice like 20 to 25-point win in the sun.
George Horn maybe getting a couple of tries.
Oh yeah, George Horn hat trick for sure. Kyle Steen bagging a couple.
Yeah, for
sure.
A couple of worldy tries from like Piatow, which is great to watch live. That's about it.
So I suppose we all went into the warm up, Matt. We're talking about not having learned anything. The perennial question has your opinion changed at all? Are we going to be able to get out of the group or nah?
I think as Alan said there, like, I think I've sort of swung between feeling a little bit more optimistic and then feeling pretty like forlorn of hope, just because it seemed as if South Africa during the Rugby Championship weren't at their best. And it seemed as if, you know, if there was going to be one team we'd beat, we catch South Africa a bit on the fly, on the hot brother, and you know it's still going to be a big upset. But I don't know. I think they've just looked imperious, and everyone's talking about the fact they've added like a bit more attacking threat to the game in the backs. But I think ultimately, like they might pick a 7-1 bench split, and that will be enough to beat us. They will just batter us. And that's all they need to do. And I think that we can cope with that for a while. But there's not many teams in world rugby that can deal with that. Maybe people are even saying now that like Ireland are looking a bit like, well, that's going to be a really difficult game for Ireland. Obviously, it's always going to be a hard one, but like maybe an even more difficult game for Ireland. So I don't know. So I increasingly sort of, as Alan said, like I'm convincing myself that Ireland is slightly more winnable just because Ireland's pack obviously is very, very strong. But I don't think it is quite as strong as South Africa's. And although we haven't fared that well against them in recent times, I think we've bridged the gap a little bit. And maybe the fact we're more used to playing them means our odds are slightly better. But just that World Cup draw, man.
It's hard to make the case.
Yeah.
Just think, even if we do get out of the group, I think that would be an amazing achievement. But I just think, like, to get out of the group having beaten one of South Africa and Ireland, and or Ireland, how many bodies are we having to sacrifice to get through that? I just don't think by the time we get to France and New Zealand, like, we're going to be on to, like, basically, like, some prop from, like, the Southern Knights. It's like, look, lad, I'm really sorry, but you're going to have to go out and play.
Hey, Gordy Reed's coming back from retirement.
Actually, Gordy.
Oh, Gordy Reed, so, and
John
good.
Welsh.
Yeah, John
Welsh. No. Plane flies in direct to Nice from Dubai. Daryl Marfo straight out, strips the pinstripe off, ready to go.
I think we'd have to like tweet about that and then just stop this whole thing. That would just be, you've got to go out on that high, surely. Nothing would ever beat that.
It'd be so good. I owe an apology to Havan Sebastian. I think he's been better than I think we all thought he was going to be at the start of the series. And also the SRU are using him on like the main poster to like sell tickets for the Six Nations. I'm like, guys, what are you doing? But fair enough.
Doohan's offering
I agree, actually.
And the SRU are like, Doohan, go away. Yavin, here we go. Come to the front.
So I'm prepared to be big enough to offer an apology. Havan Sebastian and Ben Toulis are the two people to receive the apologies. the official apologies from me over my time.
Yeah. Do you want to go through our 23s for the opening match?
Yes, do it.
Yeah, I think so.
Do you want to?
I think that's probably probably something we learn is that our Tunis sort of idea of a starting 15 is relatively stable, right?
Yeah, I think so. Just 100%. Just before we do that, do you want to do my quiz, which is related to that?
Yeah, let's do it.
So obviously, Scotland played South Africa during the 2015 World Cup. And I want you to name the starting Scotland squad from that day.
Right.
I think there's, just as a clue, there are in that starting 15, there are two people who are still in the squad.
Just two.
In Scotland squad today, yeah.
In the 23.
In starting 15.
Starting 15. Do you want to go first, Dave?
yeah.
It's quite hard.
2015.
Yeah.
Greg Laidlaw.
Starting at 9. Very good.
I'm starting with a name that I know is definitely there.
Okay. Duncan Ware.
He was starting at 10 that day. Got set up that intercept try for Seymour.
Oh, giving one away, haven't you?
Oh shit! Sorry.
Richie Vernon.
Oh mate, Richie Vernon, only man to have played in the World Cup in both back and forward positions. There we go.
Was he in the forwards that day or the backs?
He was playing 13.
Playing 13.
Brandon, played in the 2011 World Cup. In the back row.
Matt Scott.
Nice. Starting at 12, his centre partner.
Stuart Hoare.
Lovely stuff.
Visser?
Well, obviously I said there you go, mate. We have seen nailing it so far. That's the whole back line, because obviously just said Seymour as well.
So you said Seymour.
Yeah. So what we got for the pack?
WP now.
There you go. The survivor into today's squad.
So is he one of the two survivors?
Yeah.
One of the two survivors. Gilchrist?
Gilchrist wasn't in the squad.
He was named as captain and then broke his arm, didn't he?
Yeah, I think you're right. This? Yeah, yeah. All I think right. You're right. Yeah.
Dave goes one up.
Yeah.
So we got Willen now. Who would have been playing hooker on that day? Ross Ford?
He was on the bench.
McAnally?
Hey. Swing and a miss.
Who would it have been then? Fraser Brown?
There you go. Fraser Brown.
There you go. There you go indeed. Gordy Reid.
Gordy Reid, the French polisher, he is there.
Johnny Gray.
Johnny Gray is correct.
Swinson.
Swinson was on the
bench. We lost you, but I think you said Swinson.
Yeah, we
on
lost
the bench.
You a little bit there.
Sorry,
Swinson, on the bench, Swinson,
Swinson came on for Gray, so we're still looking for the other.
Why are you dialing in from like Siberia, mate?
Yeah, your connection's gone weird.
How's it? How am I sounding now?
Still like you're in Siberia.
I'd take this up with Stockbridge.
Stockbridge.
Sounds really
Stockbridge.
Bad.
Fuck's sake.
Oh, you're back.
I didn't want to do it. Oh, there we go.
Oh, no, you're gone again.
Not really. But,
how am I saying?
Yeah, that was good.
Is that right?
Where are you?
Well, I'm just okay. In my kitchen. Nowhere fancy.
Classic place to right? Record a podcast.
Yeah, that's good. Right. Dave, it's on you.
Richie Gray.
There we go. Richie Gray.
Was it both the Grays?
Yeah, the other survivor.
Denton.
David Denton's one in the back row. The other two back rows are quite rogue.
Fazzaro.
I don't think he was in the squad then.
Was he not?
No. The long-haired guy.
Yep.
Blair Cowan.
Blair Cowan, excellent.
Cowan. And then, not Hardy.
Crushing it. No, Hardy wasn't in the squad that day.
So what we're looking for, the six?
Yeah. And a decent beard on him.
Strauss?
Yeah, Strauss. It's
there we go.
It's a weird back row.
Yeah, Cowan, Strauss, Dent, Wheezy.
I think basically...
Just size, right?
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a second string side in some respects.
Yeah.
The fact Weir was starting, Visser starting, well, no Hardy.
When you compare it to the starting back line for the quarter final, what you're missing, Finn, Horn, Bennett. Who was on the, did Seymour and Visser? I know obviously Seymour started. Was it Visser on the other wing?
Maitland
started the other one, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it would have been, Dickinson and I think Ford.
Yeah.
So what's the strategy there? We were keeping our powder dry for the
we still have
Samoa again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
we almost
easy.
Lost.
So yeah. Probably the right strategy.
I was at St. James's Point.
I think we were all there, mate.
We were all there, mate.
Wasn't just you.
Yeah.
I mean I was definitely there, yeah. I just don't remember you guys being there.
Wasn't that it's a nice night. Newcastle. It's a good stadium.
What a place.
Wonderful place.
Great stadium.
Nice quiz. Nice niche 15, really, I'd say.
It is quite niche, but I think you guys did pretty well, actually.
I feel like that Seymour try is the very kind of the thing that's really sort of lived on from that match. Just, I think, obviously, the Donkey Weir interception is such a memorable piece of action.
Yeah, just very quickly getting real
chopped down.
So
let's do the here and now.
Where would we like to start from? Should we keep with tradition and start at nine, or would you like to start at start in the front row?
Let's do back quickly because I think that's probably easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I guess all saying.
Nine?
Well, I don't think White had a great game against Georgia. It feels like he is the starter.
I think pretty much locked on.
Yeah, no.
I think right. White and Finn are locked in at 9 and 10.
Yeah.
Two Pilotu and Jones are locked in at 12 and 13.
Yeah.
I thought Georgia was Two Pilotu's probably best game of the warm-up matches.
What I will say is that I saw Two Pilotu in George Square in Edinburgh. And he is fucking massive. It's really difficult to explain. It is really difficult to explain to you how thick he is and just like how broad he is.
How are you spelling fit?
Oh, two C's. Easily, with two C's. And just like, he's basically like all neck. He's honestly enormous. But yeah, they were all out. Quite a lot of them were out. So yeah. Jack Dempsey, also huge. So there you go, as you'd expect.
Good to know.
And then the back three kind of picks itself also.
I think so, yeah. That would be my only point. Kyle Stane's been playing so well recently.
Yeah.
And there's an argument that he's definitely under the high ball, like more reliable than either Darcy or Doohan.
Who would you drop though?
I would. It's a tough one. I don't think they will start him, but I'd actually maybe play him ahead of Doohan. Doohan is an absolute freak and can do things that no one else can do, but he also will cost you points and tries. I think particularly looking back to that Ireland game, the end of the last Six Nations, he was caught out of position so badly, and I think good teams will exploit that. Would be my only argument, really.
I do get that argument. It just feels like he just offers you too much.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I know.
I know.
And then you've got to just take that defensive risk and hope that it pulls out a worldie.
Does that mean that, although Stane's actually reasonably versatile because he can play 13 as well, for instance, but does that mean he just isn't in the 23 at all? He's either starting or not involved.
I guess on the assumption that we're all doing a 6-2, which I don't know if we are or not, but I am. I would have said Horn Stane as my two back subs.
Mm.
What would be your other option there?
I presume Smith. We're all starting King Horn at 15.
Yeah. Well, I guess you've kind of got to have a scrum half, obviously, and so it's a bit of a shootout between Horn and Price, and I think Horn probably edges it, especially in terms of impact sub. And then it feels like that third, that last back is going to be, I mean, you've got a lot, right? You got Healy, Redpath, Stane, Harris, Smith. And I think given the versatility of a lot of those players, you could.
And what if Finn goes down, Kinghorn goes to 10?
Well, that's the question, right? If you do a 6-2, you probably can't carry Healy. So you'd have to have Kinghorn as your backup 10. If you feel like you need Healy, then you probably need to go a 5-3.
Yeah.
Just thinking about it.
So then you're probably, if you go 6-2, you're probably looking at what, Stane or
Harris?
Redpath? Well, I suppose Harris can also cover wing and centre.
Yeah. So I think if you've got Stane, he can cover sort of 13 or wing. Jones or Darcy can cover fullback.
Yeah.
I guess I'm assuming if Tupelota goes down, you can you obviously have Jones and Stane, which isn't perfect, but it's probably good enough, right?
Even maybe put Finn at 12 if you needed to.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And then rejig things. I think Stane could probably play 15 as well if he really needed to.
Yeah, well, he has done for Glasgow.
Yeah.
But I agree. Ultimately, Stane's coming off the bench after like 5 minutes. You're like, that's fine. Right. he's definitely at that level where you'd be totally fine for him to start.
Hat trick against Romania for Stane, I reckon.
Yeah, for sure.
That could be his defining World Cup moment.
His try scoring record is absolutely banging, to be fair.
What is it again?
Oh, so good.
10-10 or something? Is it that much?
Yeah. I can't remember off the top of my head. But him, Darcy and Doohan. I mean, obviously, it's just reflective of the last 4 years, really, right? Just the way Scotland have been playing, that our wingers are probably all three of them could potentially end up in like the top five best sort of try scorers for Scotland of all time by the end of their careers.
Yeah, one of them, one or many of them, will overhaul Hogg's record, probably.
Is Hogg the record holder for tries?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was like that 20, winger.
26.
Who did he haul? Isn't it like the winger from like 1920s who like held it for ages?
Ian Smith.
Ian Smith, yeah.
Yeah. And I think he did it in like 20 games as well. It was a different time.
A different time, man.
All right. Should we front row?
Yeah. Who you got?
Is it Schoeman and Ferguson default starters?
Yeah.
Gotta be.
No.
Turner in between them?
Yeah, Turner for me.
Thoughts on Cherry starring? Turner off the bench? I guess the rationale for Cherry is, in terms of what Turner brings, is it better? Do you get the reward? Is the reward higher in the last 30 minutes? Whereas obviously the risk of Turner in terms of maybe slightly weaker at scrum time and sort of not as strong in the line out is sort of...
Is Cherry a better thrower than Turner?
I feel like he's definitely more consistent than Turner.
I think he's made about the same.
I just wonder if his strengths, both in the kind of tight and in the set piece, is potentially a more important thing to have out the gate, and then you sort of have Turner in terms of what he brings coming off the bench with sort of 30 minutes to go.
Did you ever think in your life you'd be suggesting that?
Cherry.
No, I think it's actually a pretty it's a decent argument. It's just it just takes a little bit of time to process.
What I like about it, I like about Dave Charlie. Did you listen to him on the squad announcement, BBC Scotland Rugby Pod? And like Dave Cherry sounds like he's really like taken aback that he's like done this as well, when he's like reminiscing about Stade Niçois and like.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah,
that was so good.
Yeah,
it's a great story.
Which I think is a completely fair position to take, right, as well. Like, it wasn't like he was 20 years old at Stade Niçois. He was like 25, playing in like fourth tier French rugby with no linesman. So,
yeah,
it's been a pretty amazing journey. I don't know. It's I think they probably will go for Turner. And I think no matter what, you need to have Turner as either 2 or 16. I just wonder whether his role is better in the last 30, 35 rather than the first 50, 55.
I suppose Townsend hasn't done that in recent years and has started with Turner. So I wonder if he'd just keep it the same.
I think likely, yes.
Turner's had some very big performances in that 2 jersey as well. Not least.
Yeah. I think I would...
England this year in the Six Nations.
Yeah. I think I'd prefer for Turner to start.
So and then I think... The worry about Turner is that his red card in that first minute, and you're like, George, man, he's got to turn that head off.
He's never been red carded for Scotland, has he?
I remember him getting like a yellow card and being like, probably deserved a red.
Who is that against? Australia, I think.
I do have a little bit of a fear that of cards, just because I feel like the sort of general press is, you know, if Scotland are going to beat South Africa, they've got to at least get parity or at least get close to South Africa when it comes to sort of the contact. And I think when you sort of go in with that mindset of being like, we have to match them physically, you probably just start to bleed more into, I don't know, not on purpose, obviously, but you just start to kind of do stuff that slightly puts you in a bit more of a danger zone. And, you know, look at like Grant Gilchrist versus France, right? They have the 2 wins and it was the same narrative, like, can they match up to France physically? And completely, he was throwing himself into tackles, clearly got it wrong, right? And ended up getting red carded. So that it's just a fear for me that that sort of narrative is going to create a bit of a risk if they don't sort of manage it in the right way. And similar with someone like Turner, right, who does just naturally throw himself into contact, right? There is times when Turner doesn't appear to be particularly in control of his body when he's hitting like a ruck or a tackle. I think that's a fair summary, right?
Fair, yeah.
I mean, Ferguson's probably worse, but
yeah, there is definitely a lot of card risk in this team going up against South Africa.
Yeah,
do you reckon each team is probably going to get a red card at some stage in the pools? Are they going to work out like that?
Just need it versus Romania.
Who would be the best South African to get red carded against us early?
Like Malbec.
Malbec.
I think you've called him Malbec before on this podcast, actually.
Just someone absolutely massive.
Yeah.
Probably
Malherb.
Probably Estebeth.
Yeah, true. Or Steph Detour, maybe.
Literally anyone.
Yeah, it's a long list.
This new young winger that they've got is so good.
Because, yeah, again, I think it's sort of like just going to the second rows. Obviously, you know, Richard Gay and Gilchrist have been great and look like they're obviously definite starters, but it does feel like there is a bit of a gap there when you sort of compare it to South Africa and what they've got within their sort of second row ranks.
There always will be, right?
Yeah. No, exactly.
I think that's probably our strongest pairing, really.
No argument for Cummings, just having some of those real hard lines off nine.
He hit one of those lines against Georgia and he caught it. So
I know.
maybe he's back, baby.
Turn the corner.
Yeah.
I think like nobody saw the resurgence of Richie Gray. This time last year, no one was talking about Richie Gray starting for Scotland in the World Cup.
It's pretty mad. I was pretty skeptical when he's brought back in. I was like, he hasn't done that much at Glasgow, but maybe I owe him an apology. I don't know. Well, the mea culpa episode.
It is, yeah.
Do you think Johnny Gray resents him at all? Sort of like, it was kind of like his time was over. It was time for Johnny Gray to sort of step up and be the brother that takes the glory. And Richie's just sort of come back in, kicked him out. I don't know. Tough Christmas.
Maybe he should. Yeah, maybe. When Richie Gray's like won the World Cup, he's like, Johnny, what were you doing? injured like an idiot. What are you doing? But okay, so that second row, we're all Richie Grant, right?
I think so. I think they're. Yeah. Been playing on form.
What does your bench look like set then, piece to sort of manage that?
I think Skinner will most likely be on the bench, and then that point gives you room. Yeah, that gives you room to bring another second row with you. So possibly Cummins.
Yeah,
not sure who else there would be.
Yeah, it feels like probably
in the squad.
WP Nell, Turner / Cherry / Ashman.
Do they? Batty. I want. Yeah, yeah. Sutherland.
Do you think it kind of feels? I feel a little bit like Batty might have gone past Sutherland.
Yeah, possibly. Which once again is a pretty big turnaround in events.
We're talking about Sutherland and Price missing out on the 23, having toured with the Lions.
Yeah.
Not that long ago.
And Harris. And all getting test starts as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
Price and Harris, definitely. Did Sutherland start one of them?
Or maybe he came off the bench.
Definitely got capped.
Yeah, he did. I would still feel a little bit better about seeing Sutherland than Batty. Just purely maybe from a size perspective against South Africa.
I think with either one.
Yeah.
Are they similar size?
I think so.
Feels like Sutherland's bigger.
Really? I thought Batty was bigger.
I don't know. It's just a sort of an impression.
And then back row.
I feel a bit sorry for Matt Ferguson. I feel like he's continued to perform relatively consistently. And again, the sort of just narrative sort of in the press seems to be that Dempsey's almost a guaranteed starter, which, to be fair, he's performed obviously really well for Glasgow, yeah, and played really well for Scotland. But I would say, you know, as I said, Ferguson's definitely done nothing wrong and actually played relatively well for
I think
for
it's
Scotland.
Like the twin track of Dempsey playing well, Darge coming through, and then obviously Richie being made captain just creates like a very difficult environment for Ferguson.
Yeah, 100%. And I think obviously there was a few question marks about Richie, but it feels like that away match in France just killed
him.
Oh,
it was so
off.
Good.
Yeah.
And yeah, it feels like Darge is kind of in the driving seat now. I feel like Watson hasn't had too much of an opportunity in these sort of warm-up matches. Same with Crosby a little bit.
Darge is so good there.
Yeah, Darge is so good.
Darge is so good.
You'd almost say like him and Dempsey are two of like the first picks in that pack.
Yeah.
Maybe alongside like a Schumann and Ferguson.
Yeah, and I think almost with Gilchrist and Gray in the second row, Dempsey becomes more important just because they don't offer you much carrying. Yeah. So there's an argument for why you might carry, put Ferguson in at six ahead of Richie, but obviously Dempsey is definitely the best carrier of any forward. So it feels like given you've got them in the row, and especially if you have Cherry at hooker, you just need a really good ball carrying eight, and Dempsey's definitely the best we've got.
Is there an argument for starting with Ferguson at eight and then Dempsey off the bench? I feel like Ferguson, you know, having played a little bit six as well, has evolved into more of a kind of tight player, whereas Dempsey is more of that carrying option. I don't think it'll necessarily happen, but
no. I think it's a good question. As I said, if Richie hadn't had that match against France, probably be arguing for Ferguson at six.
Yeah,
for a lot of what you just said there.
Yeah.
It just feels like because he's captain and because he put in that performance against that huge, a big French pack, obviously you're just not gonna, you're gonna drop him out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know you. I guess
Jamie Richie is also really good.
I know. But yeah,
I'm struggling to see how Townsend's going to pick Nick Haining at eight. It's difficult to see how he's going to get that through at this stage. He's closed down a lot of his options.
Nick Haining's just taken like a 3-month contract with Béziers in France.
Yeah, he's got
did you hear that's what Ryan Wilson has been doing?
Yeah, I did hear that.
Jim
Hamilton speaking to John Barker,
Yeah. He knows what he's doing. You never know when they might need a wee.
That is true.
Back row reinforcement.
Do you know where has Nick Haining gone anywhere after he got let go by Edinburgh?
I haven't seen anything announced.
Tooney's just made sure that he gets like a central contract, but with no club, just in case.
Exactly. He's still got a key card to get into the gym at Murrayfield. He's just like, Nick, let him. He's just saying to Dodson, he's just like, let him cook. Give him three months just to like stay in shape.
Just running suicides at Stu Mel constantly, keeping fit.
It's going to happen. He will get minutes this World Cup. I don't know how it's going to happen, but he's going to get some minutes.
The only other argument for Matt Ferguson is he's obviously really strong in the lineout. Probably the most, and slightly more than Dempsey, and I guess against South Africa, do you want to have as many options as possible? But again, it just feels like Dempsey just brings too much, right, from the last few games.
I just like the idea of seeing Dempsey against those like South African freaks.
Do you think South Africa are seeing the Scottish press like laud Dempsey for being this like hard runner, and they're just like, he would be like the 40th hardest runner in a South African club team.
I think they think that about pretty much every like other rugby nation. but particularly an Australian, which is effectively what he is.
Yeah.
Ah.
But it's nice problems to have, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And if that means that Ferguson is on the bench, it's, you know, he's not let Scotland. It's not like he's just put in decent performances for Scotland. In the last Six Nations, he was, you know, one of our most consistent performers.
It definitely feels like versus 4 years ago, the kind of starting 15 is a lot more settled. I mean, I remember when you think about the centres when we went in last year. I don't think any of us, when it was 2019, it was all like, oh, who's it going to be? Harris, Jones, Taylor, etc. No one quite knew what the starting back line was going to be for us, but within the centres. Whereas now it just feels like there's just so much. Everyone kind of knows what the starting team is, which feels very untuny, but feels like it's a good thing for what we need to do.
And so who else would come onto the bench then? We'd have Batty / Sutherland, Turner, Nell. Registered Turner / Jerry, Nell, Cummings and Skinner.
Cummings, Skinner, Ferguson.
Ferguson. That's your six.
Any shout for Watson or Crosby?
I think it would be difficult to pick Crosby ahead of Ferguson if it was a straight shootout. And then Watson can only play one position. So I think it kind of picks itself.
I like it.
Yeah. It's a good team. If we were in a normal group, we would be fine.
Man, if we were in England or Wales
group, which is an absolute fucking farce.
Imagine we were just looking at that path to the semi-final. And then, as you said, it feels like Scotland have got that one big game in them, you know? And, you know, maybe a France or an Ireland or South Africa in a semi-final. I could see that. But to your point, it feels like if we win that game in the group, to then beat New Zealand or France in the quarterfinals just feels like it might be a bit too much of a stretch for this team. But they just believe.
I didn't realize the reason for the draw being made so early was France requested it.
Was it?
Did not know that.
Yeah, because apparently they wanted to know the fixtures well in advance from just a logistics and selling tickets point of view. I was like, I'm pretty sure you'd be fine if it was done, you know, 18 months in advance. Like, people were like really excited about this World Cup.
Yeah, it is totally unnecessary. They'll never do it again.
Yeah.
This way. But I don't know, man. Crash out in the group stages. Would you take crashing out in the group stages, but we win the Six Nations? Are you buying that from me now?
100%.
I'd take lose every game in the world.
Humiliating exit for a Six Nations win.
100%.
Yeah. I take humiliating, like, crashing out of the World Cup, lose by 50 points to South Africa, Townsend gets sacked, God bless him, win the Six Nations.
Not even Grand Slam, just win.
No, just win,
yeah. Obviously. We don't want too much. 50 points from South Africa, 50 points from Ireland, scrape past Romania, lose to Tonga, but we win the Six Nations on the last day.
With Scott Johnson as coach.
The Scott Johnson shit back in. Eddie Jones' coach after Matt, he gets sacked as Australian head coach.
I'm loving the annual Matt Williams like pile on.
Yeah, but it's really funny.
I actually didn't even see the article. I just saw lots of tweets about people just about Matt Williams. I was like, rugby Twitter is like just in equilibrium when like everybody's just happy when it's Matt Williams is like the target.
Yeah, he was good. He was talking down the South Africa 7-1, and that needs to be sort of outlawed in some way. And everyone was going after him.
It's not in the spirit of the game.
Not in the spirit of the game. Poor old Matt.
But I mean, like, What if they get
Dave's,
like five
Dave's
injuries?
Coming to Matt's rescue.
You sure you want to do this?
I'm team Matt. No, I'm not. I'm anti Matt. I'm just like, it'll work itself out. Like 7-1 works if everybody stays fresh or doesn't get injured. But like, what if like all of your backs get injured and you have to play like Eben Epsabeth at 12? Like, come on.
Exactly. And it wasn't even a choice, right? they had an injury and
yeah. Exactly.
We were forced to do it, and thankfully they got like Quagga Smith, who's kind of that back row who's played a lot of sevens, so you can just about cover if you need to. But I don't think South Africa are going to do it again, right?
Apart from against Scotland, they're picking eight strong forwards on the bench.
We could have done it,
Miller us.
We could have been pioneers of the 7-1.
True.
Do you think we could have done a seven? We could have done an 8-0 if we had Vernon on the bench and Laidlaw starting at 10.
Yeah.
Because then it means you've already got your 9 cover on the pitch and Vernon can cover the backs. That would have been sweet.
Vern just didn't think big enough in 2015.
Yeah. Because the kind of thing Andy Robinson might have been tempted to do towards the end of his reign. He was like, look, we can't, like, our backs barely catch and pass. We need to keep it in the forwards.
Yeah.
Forwards are competitive, at least.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's the 23 that's gonna beat South Africa. Alan, I know. We're still 10 days out. Just give me a prediction right now. Give me your head and heart.
My heart says Scotland by 3, but one of these ones where we're like we're 12 points up at half time, hot and cold, and we're like hanging on for dear life.
Oh yeah,
I think my head's...
Rory Dard's turnover at like 81 minutes, clock red underneath our post.
Yeah, 100%. I think my head says we're sort of relatively in it for about 60 minutes, within 0-7, but can never get quite ahead, and then they just sort of peel away in the last 20 and win by sort of 10 to 15.
Yeah, that head is accurate.
my only one of my main hopes of the match is that Pollard is injured and that Am is injured as well. Now I think the guys that they've brought in are clearly like really class players, but they arguably, particularly Libok, plays in a way that is very different to Pollard and arguably suits Scotland, in that he's probably going to kick less, he's probably going to, you know, play the percentages less, etc. So if you can kind of get to him a little bit and start making him try to force his hand and play in an un-South African way, then I think Finn could like take him to the cleaners. But once again, I don't know if the South African forwards will let that happen.
Yeah. I think South Africa by less than 7. Darcy Graham to score at any time. I'm interested in something along those lines.
I like it. I mean, I think there is a chance that South Africa win comfortably by 15, 17 points. Right?
Yes. You can see that happening very easily, yeah.
And just, if I was there,
that's the 60-20 that Alan's talked about. You know, we're close for 60 minutes, but that 20, we lose bearings. The bomb squad comes on.
Yeah.
We're just getting marched back at the scrum, penalties on penalties.
A couple of yellow cards to the forwards.
Yeah, scoreboard just ticks away from us.
And yeah, that's what I'd do if I was South Africa, to try and absolutely batter us. Like, keep the ball away from Finn as much as possible.
Yeah. Should we end on that really bleak note, or should we try and light it up a little bit?
No. I think it's a nice reflection of the pod and us.
We should just leave it there, that harsh reality. Well, let's do it then. In which case, well, thanks very much for joining us on this sort of semi-occasional podcast that we run these days. You can still keep up with us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_ @rugby_pod. The secret TikTok. I'm just going to get this weekend. I'm just going to have to get into the lab and create some serious content now that the Rugby World Cup's around us. So keep an eye out for that. We will be podding throughout the World Cup. We're not going to commit to specific days or times because we've all got kids and it's difficult, but we will be with you throughout the Rugby World Cup. And if you're in Nice for the Tonga game, you will find us with a big bag of cans on the beach before that. So looking forward to getting on the road on tour. Any final words, lads?
Can't wait for the bag of cans.
Big bag. Do you think you can get Tenant Super in South of France? It's more of an Italy thing, isn't it?
I was thinking about taking cans with me. I don't know how many you can take on a plane. Just a couple of warm cans of tea on the beach.
Did you see that stupid story that was going around online of like this woman from America who'd never been to the UK before, and somebody told her that we don't have Diet Coke, so she brought a suitcase full of Diet Coke. That could be you with a big can of Tennant, a suitcase of Tennant.
Well, the only difference being my fear was correct that Nice wouldn't have lots of cans of Tennant. So.
Well, exactly. Yeah, you'd be.
You're well. So well, you're right.
Yeah.
The most prudent decision that you make. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Great. Well, on that note, that is a positive note to end on. Taking cans to France. We will speak to you very soon. Cheers.
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 Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.